It's good to be with you again this morning, though rather unexpectedly, to be next week. But the Lord knows about these things. And thankfully I had, to some extent, prepared for next week in good time. And we're going to turn this morning to the Gospel by Luke. And to the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And to the 11th verse which is going to lead us into a consideration of the parable of the pounds, as the King James says, or the minas, which is really the main word, the minas, which was a certain sum of money in those days. But we have the occasion here for the Lord telling this parable. Reading at verse 11 then. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now that was, we know from the gospel records, the expectation of even his disciples and others also who followed him to some extent, that the time would come when he came to Jerusalem, he would establish the kingdom of God. He would declare himself to be king and use the great power that he has to drive out the Roman power which was occupying the land. But the reality was somewhat different. And the parable that the Lord tells was to inform his people, especially his disciples, of what was about to happen. Verse 12 then. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are a hard man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a hard man, collecting what I did not deposit then, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the miner from him, give it to him who has 10 miners. But they said, Master, he has 10 miners. For I say to you that to every one who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. And we trust that the Lord will graciously give us an understanding of what this parable means, and especially for ourselves in the application of it. There is a theme in the parable, and it's easily seen. It has to do with reigning or having authority. The Lord, of course, using the nobleman, is speaking of himself. He wasn't going to set up his kingdom at that time in Jerusalem, but he was going to heaven to receive the kingdom there from his Father's hand. And when he would come back, those who were his servants, when the kingdom was set up on earth, would share in the reigning of that kingdom, in the government of the kingdom. And their responsibility was that they should be prepared for that work which would be given to them then. And that is what the substance of the parable is. Now we know from the Philippian epistle in the 2nd chapter, just why it was that our Lord Jesus Christ received the kingdom, received authority over all things. Paul penned the words to the Philippians, that mind be in you, that way of thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not equality with God something to be grasped at and clung to, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He found a servant, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. It's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the honor and glory of the Father. In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ received the kingdom and received all authority, not only in the earth but in heaven also, universally throughout the universe. He received this place of ultimate authority, not because he was the Son of God, but when he was sent to earth as a servant, he proved to be a humble, obedient, faithful servant of God. It was for that reason, wherefore God also highly exalted him. And that word that's there, that mind, that way of thinking is the better way for us to understand. The Lord's way of thinking. Is there anything so precious to us as that? That we should be introduced into the way of thinking of our blessed Lord Jesus. And we keep that in mind as he speaks to these 10 servants. They are just representative, of course, of all his servants. And as he tells them of the responsibility that is to be theirs while he is away. Now, the parable covers the present period in Bible history. The Lord has been here. He has wrought his glorious work of redemption and reconciliation to God. And God has exalted him in the highest place in heaven. And then he's coming back again. So this is the period, and this is just applies very directly to ourselves in this period in which we're living. And therefore we are to recognize the responsibility that he lays upon us. But first we will mention verse 14. His citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." I don't think we're stretching things too far to recognize in this the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen was put on trial before the religious leaders of that day, those who had been responsible for the rejection and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And these people then dared to put Stephen on trial because he was preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus, and preaching which they did not like and which condemned them to a great extent. And they executed him. They sent him after the Lord, as it were. We haven't changed our mind now. We're making it perfectly plain. We will not have you, no matter who you claim to be, to reign over us. But let's go on. Then in verse 15. Verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, "Do business until I come." Now the fact, as I said to you, that the theme of the parable is that of reigning. And they are going to be reigning with him when he comes back, as we are. What he is saying to them, you will have to learn to take responsibility in government, in reigning. Now sadly, and I have found this when bringing this parable up before the people of God, before now, that there are those who don't think the way the Lord Jesus thought. And the way in which he would have us to think. There are those that say, well, you know, if I get a back place or back seat in heaven, I'll be content enough with that, without this reigning thing. And many of God's people may not use the words, but that's their way of thinking. In fact, I have heard one brother at the Lord's table, when he got up to thank the Lord, he said, "We thank you, Lord, that I'll never be in hell." What a low perception of the glorious salvation which God has given to us as his gift in Christ, finding us under condemnation in our darkness and corruption. He sent his Son at infinite cost to redeem us, and then bringing us out of that place of condemnation into a place of nearness to himself, the nearness which his own Son enjoys, and a salvation that we can never lose, nor can the bond between our blessed Lord Jesus and us never be broken throughout eternity. That's the something in a very brief word of the salvation that the Lord had. And for someone to say, "I thank you, Lord," I'll never be in hell. How the Lord must grieve when he hears words like that. So what does the Lord tell these men to do? "Occupy till I come." Doesn't express the meaning very well of the word in the original text. In fact, if you saw it in our lettering, you would recognize the word as pragmatic. Pragmatism has, the word that we use, has to do with a recognition of how government decisions work out in the earth and work out in the place over which they're reigning. And we give a great deal of thought to that, do we not? The decisions that government makes can have a very big impact upon our lives, for good or ill. That's the thought that the Lord is putting before these people here. He says, you have to learn to recognize two things. I have received all authority in heaven and earth. In fact, Peter on the day of Pentecost said that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. We are a people under authority, under the glorious and gracious authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to learn to recognize him in the wisdom and perfection of his government. These men had known him, companied with him while he was here on earth. They had recognized as well as they could that here was one who perfectly obeyed God. One who was God's perfect servant. One who recognized himself all the time at the receiving end of the will of God. He was always talking about doing the will of God. The Lord is saying to these servants of his, I want you to learn to recognize the perfection of my governing ways with you. There will be things that touch you in life which you would rather not have, but they're always before your good. Our Lord will never allow anything to touch us which he cannot use for our good and to further our knowledge of himself. You have to learn now how he lives and acts as Lord of all. The one whom they had seen here living the life of the perfect servant. That's the first thing they had to learn. The other was that they themselves would have to imbibe that spirit of his, that way of thinking that was his, so that in humility, lowliness of heart, to use his own words, meekness, to obey him in all things, to submit to the circumstances into which he allows them to be brought again and again. He says, you're to use the knowledge of myself that I'm giving to you. It's not a great knowledge. You haven't a great capacity now to receive the knowledge of myself, both as mine, as your Lord, and as the perfect servant. That is why there's a marked difference between this and a similar parable, the parable of the talents. The talents represented a great sum of money. This is a much lesser sum. In other words, you're starting off with a somewhat limited knowledge of myself. And you're going to have to use that knowledge to bring that knowledge of myself, the fact that I am the Lord over all, that all the circumstances of your life are in my hands. I'll never allow that to touch you, which is not for your good. You have to learn to recognize that, to believe that, to trust me in that. And you have to learn to, very humbly, as my servant, accept those circumstances and to be obedient in whatever I require of you, and to be submissive to circumstances which you do not really like. So that's the responsibility given to the responsibility that's given to us. And it should be woven into the very fabric of our lives. Not something that we take up for half an hour or an hour when we have our quiet time with the Lord, or when we come to a meeting of one kind. It should be the whole fabric of our lives. Recognizing the glorious, wise and loving Lord that we have in authority over us, and with the ability to impart to us his own spirit of meekness and humility and submission and obedience. Should be, I say it again, our constant consideration. Are we, to use the word in the text here, occupying till I come? Occupying the place in life where he has put us. And in that place, to be learning how it is to be a servant. Because it's those that learn to be obedient servants that are fitted to take authority over others. And so the man comes here who had been given a mina, and the Lord is concerned with what every man has gained. The Lord is looking for gain, for the development of Christian character. the furthering of his work in our lives. And the man came, verse 16, then came the fish, the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Using the limited knowledge of the Lord that he started with, it has grown as he discovered how the Lord is organizing in his authority every aspect of his life and pouring into his spirit the ability to accept and understand that perfect wisdom, that authority of his to reach the end that he has in view. So we read here, verse 17, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. So there you see the reward that comes. The ability that he has gained is to be used in governing with the Lord here in the earth when he comes back. Verse 18, and the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. In other words, the authority that's given in sharing the Lord's government on the earth here in the age to come is in direct proportion to how we have learned here to know him both as our Lord and as the one who is and was the perfect servant. Then verse 20, then another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. Now the handkerchief in those days wasn't something you blew your nose into. It was something that covered the face of the dead. You remember when the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, and he came out of the tomb, the handkerchief was on his face. Could we say that there was nothing in the face of this man that would have told anybody that he was a servant of a living, loving Lord? Instead of his face glowing with the life that the Lord has given to him, it's a faith that's marked by death. And the reason he has done this, he says, is verse 21, I feared you because you are a hard man, a demanding, a harsh master. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. In other words, you're looking for something that you don't deserve to have. That's what this man is saying. To apply it, we could think of it like this. Look, you put me into very difficult situations, things that I couldn't cope with, and you gave me no resource that to enable me to cope with them. Can anybody think of our Lord like that? This man wouldn't be a servant at all if he hadn't been redeemed by the Lord, reconciled to God by the blood of the cross. God, in his Son, had invested everything in the redemption and salvation of a people who had gone far from him. God put all he had into that work of redemption. Not only did he give his Son to die for us, but when we come to faith in him, he given us a Son to live in us. The resources are there in all their magnitude, if we are prepared to receive them, to enable us to cope with every situation into which he brings us. So this man has gained nothing. And what's more, look what it goes on to say. Verse 22, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. He's still a servant. He hasn't lost his salvation. You know that what I did not deposit on, I beg your pardon, you knew that I was a hard man collecting what I did not deposit on, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Now the Lord is not advising us here about how we should invest our money, if we have any to invest. What he's saying is this: why didn't you put the little bit of faith in me that you have into the assembly, so that you gather with others in the prayer meeting, and you can pray to me and ask me to bless and save and so on? At least I would have something from you in that way. Instead of that, you keep it hidden. And then what does he say? Verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. They say to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away from him. Now that's as far as servants are concerned, but then the last verse, but bring here those enemies of mine who will not have, did not want them to reign over me, and slay them before me, and there will be a terrible judgment then for those who have rejected him. But what about this other miner? I think of it like this. Here is this 10 mina man faithful to the Lord, a man concerned with Christian character, with spiritual growth, with gaining an ever deepening knowledge of the Lord and of his ways with him. He's working in some kind of business. There are others there working with him. He takes the opportunity when he can to testify to other workers, tell them about the Lord and his great salvation. And one day somebody says to them, well, what about so-and-so there? They tell me, he believes this that you believe. Oh, yes, 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 he does. He does profess to believe the Lord. Oh, mind you, he's a miserable being. Always moaning about something. Doesn't speak well for this salvation you're talking about. The Lord was faced with people like that when he was here on earth. And the Lord had wisdom to know how to deal with them. And this ten minor man, can learn from the Lord even in a situation like that. He can use it to widen his testimony, to make it known to others who are talking about this man what salvation really is. You know, a man needs to be devoted to the Lord Jesus in order to know the gain of his salvation and to know the peace of God in his heart. And he could go on like that and find that he's gaining further in the knowledge of the Lord. He has 11 minors now. What a Lord we have. Bless his name. He came amongst us as the perfect servant. He reigns on high with absolute authority. And all is for our gain. That when he comes back, he will examine us, the judgment seat of Christ, and we will share his government in the earth in the ages to come, in the measure in which we have come to be servants, bearing his likeness, with the way of thinking that was in his mind. May he bless his word to us and glorify his name. Amen.